Psalm 23. Can you all turn to Psalm 23 on your iPads or whatever you use these days? I'm still on paper. But my battery never runs out. It's on page 555 on the in the church Bible, I believe. And it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23 is probably the most recognized and quoted psalm in the Bible. I have spoken on it several times at the breaking of bread service, because so much can be gleaned from those few verses which make up Psalm 23. This morning, I'm not going to speak about Psalm 23, but I have used it as my text, as an example of what I am speaking about. The subject of my talk today is relationships, and in particular, our relationship with God. You can imagine how I must have felt this morning. I came into church and I saw on the screen the words to the song we just sung, "What a Friend I Have in Jesus." And I spoke to Phoebe and I said, "That's amazing. Because I'm going to speak about relationships this morning, and particular relationships with God." And she said, "I always pray, if I'm leading the music, about what I should do a song on." So that just proves to me that God is in charge. God knows everything. And I certainly haven't got any rapport with Phoebe. It's just that God knows what's happening. There are many illustrations recorded in the Bible which demonstrates a personal and devoted relationship with God. But I chose David and his Psalm 23, which talks about his whole life relationship with God. It was whilst doing some research of one of the WCC Life magazine articles that I was particularly reminded about how God wants us to have an intimate relationship with him, which he intended when he created us. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, we read, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." You can picture the scene. God walking in the Garden of Eden with Adam, showing him the glorious garden that he had created for Adam to enjoy. You probably, some of you, would have been confronted by Bill this morning, and I thank you for that, Bill, wherever you are, because he showed me a picture of his allotment, and he's put a tremendous amount of work into that, and it looks fantastic. And it was just, you know, again, just God at work. I think the Garden of Eden must have been like heaven on earth, and a place of unbelievable beauty and peace. A place where there were no weeds and thorns to subdue God's glorious creation. I can assure you that wherever you go in the world, however much beauty you see, you will not see or witness a place this side of heaven which remotely comes anywhere close to the Garden of Eden. A place where Adam and his descendants would be able to live in perfect harmony with their Creator. Just imagine it. They would be able to converse with God and walk with him every day. We can be sure that it was a very close relationship. But as we know, Adam was deceived by Satan, who tricked him into believing that in spite of this amazing place which God had provided for him, there was a way that he could be even happier still. Adam could improve his status. The result was that sin entered into the world and God's glorious plan for mankind was severely damaged. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, we get a sense of the anger and disappointment felt by God after Adam had admitted his sin. This is what God said. "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the grounds, since it was where you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you will return." And to dust you will return. Fairly angry there. That's not what God wanted of his... what a contrast that was. Well, we all know what happened after this. More sin led to more sin, and the relationship between man and God became more and more distant. In our world today, we still witness the growing separation between man and God. This is not God's desire. But men and women are still being tricked by Satan into falsely thinking that they can ignore their Creator as they go about their daily lives. It is because people do not put their relationship with God first that other relationships come under pressure and pain and suffering is a result. The Bible teaches us that God created us for the very purpose of having a close an intimate relationship with him. When we do not put our relationship with God first, we are like caged birds who have never experienced the freedom of being able to fly. They think they are free, but they are not. They just don't know any different. Throughout history, from the fall and still today, God has raised and is raising up men and women who have made the decision to put their relationship with God the number one priority in their lives. These people have in the past and are still today bringing tremendous blessing to others, and we thank God for them. We think of the prophets in the Old Testament, as well as men like Abraham, David, Moses and Daniel, all of whom had a relationship with God and blessing followed. We think about John the Baptist in the New Testament and Paul and the disciples. But God did not stop there to show us how much he loved us and desires a close relationship with each and every one of us, regardless of how old we are, whether we are rich or poor, in sickness or in health. He sent his one and only Son into the world to live among us so that we could see God as a man. For some of us, it is hard to visualize God, the Creator God, in a personal sense, because he is so big and powerful. How can I begin to have a relationship with the Creator of the universe? We sing the song, don't we? "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." As for me, I cannot imagine having a close relationship even with the Queen of England, let alone God. If I met her, I would be a babbling wreck. I would not know how to approach her, let alone what to say to her. By way of an illustration of that point, I am a fan of the television program Countryfile. We like that, don't we, Steve? And a couple of years ago, I went to Countryfile Live, which is a huge event held at Blenheim Palace, which focuses on everything to do with rural life. As you do, I bought a program, and I saw that the main Countryfile presenters were taking part in the quiz at a particular marquee at a particular time. The show covers a massive area, and when we eventually got to the right place, nothing was happening, and I thought that we had missed it. So we wandered off, disappointed, but at the back of the marquee, we recognised one of the presenters who does the weekly weather forecast on Countryfile. Literally, walking a bit further on, I came face to face with Ellie Harrison, who is one of the most well-known presenters. And just in the back of my mind, I remember that I had read recently that she had had a baby. So I asked, first thing that came into my mouth, how is the baby doing? When everyone else was asking things about the television program and the show. She looked at me a bit strangely before politely answering my question by saying, okay, thank you, before quickly moving off to talk to somebody else. Not a great moment for me, but in the heat of the moment and confronted by someone quite well known, I did not know what to say. In this context, what would I say to God if all of a sudden I came face to face with him? I think that many of us have this childhood picture in the depths of our minds of how awesome God the Father is. How can I approach him? What can I possibly say to him? But then I think about God the Son. Jesus, who said to the little children, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Or when Jesus walked on water and encouraged his disciples by saying in the midst of the storm, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Or when Jesus comforted Martha and Mary after the death of their brother Lazarus, when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And he whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Or that time when a woman who was caught in the act of adultery and was brought before Jesus, and after Jesus spoke, all her accusers went away. He asked the woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She answered, no one, sir. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. But when Jesus was dying on the cross, he turned to a fellow sufferer and said, today you will be with me in paradise. When I think of Jesus, it helps me to realize that I can have a relationship with God. Because I see God through the Son, I know his character because of his actions when he dwelt amongst us. When we focus on our relationship with God, then all our human relationships with our family, our school, our workplace, and even our church all become much clearer. Just imagine what worship will be like if we all had a personal relationship with God. Putting our relationship with God first will make us want to study His Word. We will want to have more frequent conversations with God through prayer. Of course, we will experience many changes as we journey through life. But it will be better for us if we are in a close relationship with God. And with God as we walk through this life and to eternity. Just look at the changes that David went through in his life. Simple shepherd boy. Slayer of Goliath. Army chief. King of Israel. Adulterer. Murderer. There must have been times when David thought that because of sin in his life, that he could never have continued his relationship with God. Yet God blessed him and his ancestors for generations. God longs to have a relationship with each and every one of us, regardless of our past. The question for us is, do I want a relationship with God? The choice is ours. As we consider our personal relationship with God, can I invite you to read with me Psalm 23 before we meet around the Lord's table? You can put that up, Steve. The Lord, can we read it together? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me for the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.